It is a rainy, rainy, rainy Wednesday morning with a couple of snow flurries, that's how you say it, in Dalton. I wish it'd snow a lot, but thank God for this opportunity to speak again and to talk about his word. I'm excited about this word, even though it changed about 15 minutes ago. All right, let's pray, then we'll jump in and see what the Lord wants to say. Father, we thank you today that you are good all by yourself, Lord. God, I thank you that your plans are to bless us, to keep us, to hold us, to embrace us, Lord. And I thank you that you are a God that's not far away, that you're close, and according to your scripture, that you stick closer than a brother. Lord, today I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for all of us that you will reveal yourself to us in whatever ways you see necessary. I pray, Lord, that we can hope again, we can dream again, we can believe again, and most importantly, Lord, that during this season, and I know we get busy, God, that we can look to you and thank you for the Christmas season. We can thank you that you are willing to send the only begotten of the Father, Jesus, to come down to live like we live, and then ultimately pay the sacrifice for us. God, we thank you for everything that you've done for us. I pray that you'll move me out of your way and that you'll speak through me so that we can all be encouraged and strengthened. And by faith, we believe these things. We love you and we honor you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 13, then I'm going to go to verse 19. Just to give you a little bit of a backstory, probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible. The Bible says when it was a time for kings to go out to war, that David was ultimately out at his house, his castle. He sees Bathsheba. He calls for her. He lay with her. She becomes pregnant. Most scholars would argue that he committed rape. Most scholars would definitely agree that she did not have a choice in the matter. And then he sins and he ultimately tries to trick the husband. And then he has Uriah killed. So David commits rape. He commits murder. He sleeps with another man's wife. He does all these terrible things. And it takes Nathan the prophet to come before him. And Nathan sets up a scenario where he pretty much gets David to commit or speak guilt upon himself. And in verse 13, the Bible says, "So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord." My question I want to pose this morning is, how do we go from denial? How do we go from wanting the things of God to actually experiencing the things of God? How do we go from it's everybody else's fault or everybody else is mistreating me or everybody else is overlooking me or things never go my way until we can accept the path that God has for each one of us? And I believe King David shows us an amazing, amazing way to accept the things of God, to accept the plan of God. It's not an excuse to say, okay, for me personally, I'd like to lose some weight, so I need to start putting some things in order to eat better and to work out. So it's not an excuse for me to eat whatever I want and say that must be the plan of God. Let me accept it. However, it is, on the contrary, the opportunity for me to say, God, what's your plan for my life? And when I read the scripture, it talks about how we should treat our body, that it's the temple of the Lord. It talks about how we should eat. It talks about how we should exercise and do certain things. So that's obviously the plan of the Lord for my life. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be intelligent. He wants us to be wise in the things that we do. So it's not an excuse to say, okay, whatever bad's happening to me must be the plan of the Lord. But it is saying, God, if you brought it to me, then I know that you'll bring it through me. It's me saying, God, I know that if you brought me to this battle, if you brought me through this storm, that you are the God of the storm and you're God of peace. I know it's the same God on the mountaintop as in the valley. You see, brothers and sisters, I can argue, and I've had many arguments with people, probably too many, that we serve a God that we can live on that mountaintop. Does it mean that bad things won't happen? Absolutely not. But you and me have an opportunity to go through life storms with the God of all creation. And I argue that if we have the Holy Spirit, if we have the God of all creation, then every obstacle that you and me face, we can face it on the mountaintop. You see, Moses had to literally walk up on a mountain to have an exchange with God. But you and me can bow, we can pray, we can believe, and we can have an encounter with the Most High God that we don't have to literally walk up on a mountaintop. You see, access has been granted for you and me, and I believe that's one thing King David knew even before Jesus came down to die for our sins later on in the Gospels. David knew that God was a God of mercy. David knew that he was a God of a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and so on chance. David knew that God could change his mind, but if God didn't, David would accept it. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today to know that the enemy's tried to trick us and tried to tell us that certain things are always going to be this way. We'll never excel at our job. We'll never excel with our family. We'll never get forgiveness. We'll never give forgiveness. But I want you to know that that's not the plan of God. God's plan is to love us and for us to love others. God's plan is to bless us. He's called us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Last night, me and Alex and family members had the privilege to go to Joshua and Isabel's school. They did their Christmas play. And the play was powerful. I saw five-year-old kids serve the Lord and hands up praising and worshiping. And I saw 17, 18-year-old kids praising and worshiping the Lord. And everybody absolutely in between. But one of the most powerful things that happened to me last night was after the play. One of Joshua's teachers came out and she was commending him on what a great job he did. He gets his acting skills from me probably because he did a good job. No, but she came out and she told him what a great job he did and how hard he had worked. And Joshua was like, no, no, no. And he didn't know how to accept that praise. He didn't know how to accept those commendations. Instantly, he would shake his head and say, no, no, and get embarrassed and duck his head. And he would try to make an excuse. And Miss Sanford is her name. And she said, you know, Joshua, in my class, you're not allowed to talk bad about yourself. And she said, Alan and Alex, when Joshua says like, oh, I'm dumb or oh, I messed up or whatever, I make him repeat who he is in God. She said, I make him say that he's a child of God. I make him say that he's the righteousness of God. I make him repeat the promises that God has given to him so that he'll not accept that he's dumb or that he messed up or that we all fall short, but he'll focus on the fact that he's chosen by God, that he'll identify himself with Christ Jesus. And that's my word today. I want you to understand that you can identify with Christ Jesus. I want you to know that as much as God sent Jesus to die for me, he sent Jesus to die for you. I want you to accept the fact that you do mess up. Accept the fact that we all fall short of the glory of God, that our righteousness is all as filthy rags. But you and me have to accept this Christmas season that if you and I were the only ones left on planet Earth, God would have sent Jesus to die for you. We say that, but do we really believe it? Do we believe that we're worth the blood of the Son of God? Do you and I believe that we're worth God sending the precious Holy Son that the Bible says that knew no sin, that became sin, so that you and I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? That's a fancy way to say the only way that we could have a relationship with God himself was if Jesus would make that path straight. David knew that he had messed up, but in verse 19, God had told David, listen, I'm going to kill your son because of your sin. I'm going to take that precious thing that you and Bathsheba created because of your sin. And the Bible says that David would fast and David would pray before the Lord. He wouldn't eat and his servants would bring him food and he would push it away and he would worship the Lord and he would pray and he would fast. And in verse 19, the Bible says, when David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. The servants were scared. They were worried. They didn't know if King David was going to hurt himself, because during the time that God could have changed his mind, David was not eating. He was thin. His life was in the balance. All he was doing is fasting and praying. So they were scared to tell him. So the Bible says that David perceived that the child had died. The servants confirmed the word. And in verse 20, the Bible says, So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Verse 21, then his servant said to him, what is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food. And he said to them, when the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Today there is something absolutely remarkable when someone accepts the will of God in their life. It's absolutely amazing when a man or a woman of God can do something that everybody else doesn't understand, that everybody else thinks it's going to go one way, but they go another. And the reason that David could do this is he accepted the word of the Lord. He accepted the punishment, yet he still kept hope. He knew God was a God of mercy and a God of grace. He knew that God could still change his mind. But when the final punishment came down, when the final decision from God came down, the Bible says that David got up, he ate, he washed, he anointed himself, and then he went. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. How could you worship after losing a son? What kind of heart, what kind of acceptance do you have to go into the house of the Lord and worship someone that you knew had the power to turn it around? And when I read this story, I'm instantly reminded of my apostle that lost her son. But I've never seen a woman praise God like my apostle. I instantly remember people in my life that have lost loved ones, that's lost things that were precious to them, and they were instantly able to go back into the house of the Lord and worship. Does it mean all the pain went away? Absolutely not. But it means that they chose to worship instead of worry. They chose to worship instead of doubt. They chose to worship instead of think, woe is me. And I want to challenge us today to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. I want to challenge us today to stop being so busy with the season and buying gifts and making this happen and that happen and worried about what somebody's going to think if we don't get their kid the right gift or we don't get them the right gift. I want to challenge us today and say, God, what's your will for this season? Because your way's better, God. And people are waiting on you and me to accept the will of God for our lives. It doesn't mean we don't question it. It doesn't mean we get it all perfect, but it does mean that we say yes. God is waiting on a yes from you and me. God is waiting on a yes for us in our prayer closets. God's waiting on a yes for us in our worship. You see, I'm of the opinion that I can't show any more passion to anything else more than I do during my praise and worship. You see, I can't yell at a football TV screen more than I yell for my Lord. You see, I can't watch a basketball game and be more passionate about that than I am about the one who knew no sin yet became sin so that I could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, I'm of the opinion what God did on that cross is worthy of praise. It's worthy of honor. It's worthy of me screaming and yelling at the top of my lungs, Hosanna to the highest. It's worthy. He's worthy this morning. David does all these things. The people ask him, listen, why are you acting this way? You're not acting the way that we think you should act. And David has an immediate response for him. David said, listen, God could have changed his mind. I'm not God, so I don't know everything. But David said, listen, God didn't change his mind, and I have to accept the fact that I cannot go to my, or excuse me, my son cannot come to me, but one day that I'll go to him. And where I'll close today is in verse 24. The Bible says, then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Because David was willing to accept what God said, David got another son. Because David was willing to accept what God laid before him, it doesn't mean he was happy about it. Please don't confuse it. It doesn't mean that he didn't get frustrated. It doesn't mean that he didn't get short-tempered. You see, I'm not somebody that has it all together by far. And I'll get frustrated and I'll get worried. But at the end of it all, when I go back and look at it, it was an absolute waste of my time. I want to encourage you today to let you know that you can be like King David. And in fact, people are waiting on you to be like King David. They're waiting on you to accept what the Lord has laid before you. Because people need to be comforted. The only reason David could go into Bathsheba, and the Bible is extremely clear, it says that he comforted her. Meaning that he consoled her, meaning that he shared his comfort that he had already gotten with her. It means that not everything was perfect. Yes, they lost a child. Yes, they were going through pain. Yes, maybe we've lost a job. Yes, maybe we've let God down again. Yes, maybe we've disappointed people. Maybe we've lied to people. Maybe we've not did what we told people that we were going to do. But today is a new day, and the mercy of the Lord has been renewed again today. Hallelujah to him. David goes into Bathsheba and he comforts her. He has to tell her, listen, the Lord's way's better, even though we don't understand it. But David was hurting too, Brother Allen. David lost a son too. How was he able to comfort his wife? Because he remembered that the God that saw him through the valleys, the God that saw him through the caves, the God that saw him through adversity, where time after time his life was hung in the balance. Saul was throwing javelins at him. Everybody was trying to kill him, but it was God. It was God that saw him through. It was God that comforted him, God that never left him, God that was always an on-time God. He could now share that same comfort with Bathsheba. You see, Bathsheba didn't go sleep in caves with him. According to what I understand, Bathsheba only knew David as king, the great man of honor, the great king. But he could tell her, listen, Bathsheba, there was a time in my life when me and my men barely had any food. We were struggling. We didn't have it all together. How many of us today can share with somebody, there was a time in my life when I went through the Wendy's drive-thru in Ringo that I didn't have enough money to buy a value meal. True story, 100%. There were times in my life that my dad had to give me money because I didn't have money for absolutely anything because I would waste it on drugs or other stupid things. But now God has been so, so gracious to me. I can share those stories with people and let them know that God is the one that's gave us increase. God is the one that's never let us down. Have we lived perfect? Absolutely not. But God in his infinite mercy and grace and love has chose to bring increase. That's the comfort that I can give people. How many of us today have been facing a cancer diagnosis or a bad health diagnosis or maybe the fear of a divorce or the fear of losing a job or actually losing a job, and we can help people with that. We can comfort them with that. Because lastly, King David was willing to comfort his wife that him and his wife could create something new. The Bible says that he was able to be intimate with her. He was able to lay with her. And then they bore a son, Solomon. Solomon, no doubt, would come along and build the house of the Lord. I wonder if David didn't accept the plan of God in his life, even though he didn't like it, even though he didn't enjoy it. But if David didn't accept that plan, I wonder if he would have ever been able to go comfort Bathsheba. What if he said, this is unfair? What if he said, the Lord does things for everybody else but me? What if he would have said, such and such never has to go through storms? I want you to know, just because you don't see people go through storms does not mean that they don't go through storms. It just means they go through differently than you. It just means they go through differently than I do. But because David accepted the Lord's plan, he goes in, and him and Bathsheba, yes, the woman that was not his wife, yes, the woman that arguably he raped, yes, the woman that many bad things had been done to, but God made them whole. The only person that can make you and me whole is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's the ultimate acceptance that you and me have to have. We have to accept him as Lord and Savior to be able to get all these things that I'm talking about. We have to be willing to accept him as Lord and Savior to be part of the family. My question is, do we accept it? Do we accept the life that he laid down for us? Do we accept all the good and bad that comes with serving the Lord? Because I promise you want to go through with him. He's worthy, he's good, all by himself. He is exactly who he tells you and me that he is. He's the only person in my life that's never let me down. He's the only person in my life that constantly I've let down, but he's always right there. That's the kind of God that we serve. And David knew that. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you today. I thank you that we can accept you as Lord and Savior, that you made that path for us, Lord. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this call that will hear this message. And I thank you, Lord, that yes, we hurt sometimes and we go through storms and trials. But God, I pray that we're like King David and we can be comforted so that we can comfort others. I pray, God, that we have that kind of boldness, that we have that kind of love in our hearts, that we can remember when things weren't so great and we can share that with others, that we can help inspire your people, Lord, so that we can create something fresh and something new like David and Bathsheba did. Yahweh, I thank you that David accepted your plan, because I thank you that Solomon came alone and had wisdom and was able to build your house. Lord, I pray this morning that you will help us during this season, that you will let us know and show us that it's not about the hustle and bustle and buying gifts, but it's about the gift that you gave. And today we accept that. We slow down and we accept the fact that you died for us, and then on the third day you resurrected. We believe these things and we consider them done by faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.